Silicon Valley workers turning to unionism. Apple employees, they're the people who make your phones and your watches and your MacBooks. They are pushing back against the new policy that would require them to return to the office just 3 days a week, starting in early September. It seems like a lot of people, lockdown or not, vaccinated or not, are not willing to return to the office. They don't miss the water cooler conversation. They don't miss the team buildings. Many, many people have gotten used to work from home environments. Of course, there are people who need that. There are people who need that stimulation from co-workers to bounce ideas off. Apple, even pre-pandemic, they had an express policy discouraging people to work from home, to work in silos. They say it was very important to their work and their company culture of bouncing off ideas, quick meetings, quick powwows, let's just brainstorm for 15 minutes face to face. That's very important to their company culture. Now, there's about 6,500 Apple employees. That's excluding retail stores. About a third of them said, heck no, we are not returning to work. And they do their best work on the couch, on a tracksuit pants. Joining me now, Thabang Repuleng, also going to be included in the conversation. Larry Clarkson, deputy editor at MoneyWeb. Thabang is the director in the employment practice at Cliff Decker Hoffmeyer. I'm sure there are plenty of companies, plenty of HR departments trying to work out ways on how to rework and reword contracts so that when people do return to work, possibly maybe towards the end of the year or early 2022, they're going to be start looking at how do we get that balance between office environments and also work from home environments. A fascinating little conundrum that COVID-19 and the pandemic has thrown companies and offices, Thabang.
Definitely, it's one of the things that I think it came unanticipated for many companies. But now, taking into account what we call a new normal, many companies are having to relook at their policies, relook at their workplace practices and standards and employment contracts in order now to try and see how do we make this new normal incorporate into the work culture going forward. And yes, it will have its own challenges because obviously we've not been here before as a nation, but it definitely will have its own legal, but also just in the labor relations challenges, if one thinks about it.
Look, there are people who say that the bosses simply want to monitor them. I am an adult and I do my work. I meet my targets whether daily or weekly or monthly, and you can't fault me on that. Of course, there are people who will take advantage, and I've seen videos on TikTok where people have tied the work mouse to a fan. And that whenever the fan moves, it moves the cursor so that their boss who's tracking them online on MS Teams sees this cursor moving. So they must be at their desk. It really is a conversation about honesty, about what an employee brings, but at the same time, giving people to work and giving them the freedom to essentially be their own managers at home.
Yes. So in essence, one has to remember that the cornerstone of an employee-employer relationship is one of trust and good faith. So the employer needs to be able to trust the employee, and the employee must also be able to act in good faith towards the employer and be able to trust that the employer will also adhere to their own responsibilities. So, but employees also need to keep in mind that you are not an independent contractor. There is a difference between an independent contractor and an employee. An independent contractor simply has to deliver what has to be delivered as to how they go about it and so on. As long as they deliver and it's up to the required standard, that's fine. Mm-hmm. An employee, there is an element of supervision and monitoring, which is inherent in that particular relationship. And employees need to keep in mind that it's not about me delivering what you're paying me for. Somehow, when you're an employee, it matters how it gets delivered your ethics, your workplace culture, the environment, all those things matter in an employment relationship. So it's going to be a balancing exercise on the part of both employees and employers. But important to keep in mind is that cornerstone, which is that it's a relationship founded on the basis of trust and good faith.
If I get hired as a full-time employee, do I sign up for merely hitting deliverables targets, or do I sign up for workplace culture as well? I've met plenty of grumpy co-workers in different lives and different careers where they do their job, but heck no, they will not join the team building, Bri, because that's not what I'm paid to do. Do you sign up for a company culture as well?
Yes, you basically sign up to workplace rules, you sign up to standards and policies of the employer, and obviously the workplace culture, which is why there's something called incompatibility, where one can be exited or terminated in an employment relationship, not because they are a poor performer, they could be a star performer, but because they are incompatible with either their colleagues or the workplace culture or the environment and so on. So you sign up for everything. It's not just a matter of delivering services. That's usually something that is common when one looks at independent contractors, because they just there to deliver whatever service or whatever product that the company requires, but they're not employees. But when you're an employee, keep in mind, for example, the employer might want to do promotions down the line. They need to know the person. They need to know whether is this person capable of leading a team or not. Is this simply a person who delivers on an item, but is not capable of dealing with workplace disputes amongst fellow colleagues and so on. And the only way to make those kinds of assessments is when now you take a full view of an employee in a holistic manner, not just the performance aspects of it.
A man who's been enjoying his time working from his couch in his sweatpants, Larry Clarkson, deputy editor at MoneyWed. The economy, the workplace culture is something that you have often covered in your reporting, in your journalism. And it's really, really fascinating where people are now saying, you know what, I have never been as productive in my life than I have been in the past 14 months, simply because I've not been able to switch off from work, even though I'm at home, Larry.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a journey here for us at MoneyWeb. One of the things I discovered is that, you know, you save so much time in the morning not to get to work, to prepare yourself for work. And once you get there, then you first have to have a conversation with your colleagues, and then you become productive. And all that time now is saved. All that time now goes straight into being productive very early on. I think in many ways, overall, it's been good for us. The real challenge, though, is the conversations, is what I call the over-the-shoulder conversations. That's where you want to turn to a colleague and just get, you know, some kind of like rudimentary information that turns out to be a lot more important than you thought it was. We've bumped our heads a couple of times where you thought, weren't you going to do that? Wasn't I going to do that? And I think that was one of the kind of cultural changes we had to that we had to get over. We have to communicate constantly and with your colleagues in a way that kind of like eliminates those kind of blind spots. But overall, it's been a good experience. I think journalism kind of lends itself to being more. You pay people for outcomes than for their time.
I'm going to let you in on a little secret, and it's a former employer now, so I don't mind. I hope it doesn't affect future employment opportunities. But what I did when I worked at a weekly newspaper, and I shared my time between this station and a weekly newspaper, is that I had set myself goals for stories which would appear in the paper on Friday. I then, you know, get through them as quickly as possible, which meant that by late Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, I was done with my deliverables. If anyone needed me to fill in something for online, you know I'm on the blower. Give me a call. But, and I'm sure like many people do, and let's be honest here, people do take the opportunity to have a kip midday on company time.
I think companies also, my thing is that companies just have to understand that people are human beings, and this monitoring of my of your mouth, that's just borders on the ridiculous. If your measurables or your KPIs are based on outcomes and not just being constantly busy, then it says something about what your company goals are. It's more reflection of the company than the people that work for them.
Debunk, I want to bring you back into this conversation. A question here that asks, do I have to, if we have a no office policy, do I need to inform my company whether I am going to do work out of town? And this has happened to a friend of mine. She was based in Johannesburg. She thought she'd come bound to a place here in Cape Town. And for the bulk of lockdown, when she could travel, she used the weekend to get into a car and come down to Cape Town. Up until very recently, she worked in Cape Town, whereas her office was in Joburg. I don't know if she checked with her bosses then, but she got away with it. Would companies keep you beholden to a particular city if you have been adopting this work from home lifestyle?
Yeah. So in most cases, it's something that will need to be agreed upon with the company when they announce the work from home policy, or when they allow employees to work from home. They need to give some form of guidelines, or the policy need to stay. Because sometimes, as much as people might be working from home, there could be instances where they are required to attend to the office for some emergency of some sort. And it makes sense then if the employer is aware that you are out of town. Because obviously, if they're not aware, they will be working on the basis that it's during working hours, it's a working week. And if we need you to attend to the office on an urgent basis, we should be able to call you to attend to the office. So as a matter of just exercising caution and I guess to keep the goodwill going, I will say employees must advise the employer if they intend to go out of town.
So, Debunk, what this essentially means, as we're halfway through 2021, it's going into a third wave now, people still practicing caution. By the end of the year, more people will be vaccinated. We'll probably have a bit more level of freedom going into 2022. It's time for companies to start looking at the HR contracts, where they can be flexible, where they can, speak to the best, best productivity of their people, and start looking at those contracts right now already.
Definitely, more especially if one looks at the contract, things like, for example, your standard workplace rules. Will those be applicable when I'm working from home? Because now my home is not really a workplace. And more especially if one looks at how the workplace is defined in the Labor Relations Act, my home cannot really be seen as a workplace. Now, if there's a rule, let's take a simple example. If there's a rule that says I should not consume alcohol whilst I'm at the workplace. Now, the question is, while I'm working from home, can I consume my alcohol? So things like that is a simple example. The dress code, for example. I'm expected to adhere to a certain dress code when I'm at the workplace, but I'm working from home. Do I still need to adhere to that dress code? So such things, companies will need to look into those things. Working hours. Do I still need to adhere to the 8-4 or the 9-5, taking into account that I'm working from home, I can make up for the time that I don't work during the day, at night, and so on. So all those things that will need to be reviewed, not just in the employment contracts, but in the policies, if they are collective bargaining agreements, those agreements will need to be reviewed. So that going forward, they set in place to what are the expectations and what are the guidelines when one is working from home.
Debunk, really interesting questions coming out here, particularly about your medical history. Person asking, hi, can you please ask Debunk if it's mandatory to inform my boss if I if my partner has tested positive for COVID, I am negative. There's definitely, of course, the public health concern there of that person also having to quarantine if his partner is in the same in the same house as his partner was tested positive for COVID-19. But issues regarding about medical history also now forming part of the conversation of people returning to work.
I think that question of medical history will come if companies want to make an assessment as to who should be called back to the office and who should not, taking into account that other people might have chronic illnesses or comorbidities. So that's where that question will come in. I think it will have context for seeking that information. But obviously, one is also mindful that obviously there is the Protection of Personal Information Act that companies must comply with, even if they are they've got access to that kind of information. But it will differ on a case-by-case basis because there needs to be context as to why is the company requesting such information. It cannot just be requested for the sake of having it. But one will imagine where you need to make an assessment whether is this person a good candidate to be brought back to the office or should they be allowed to continue working from home. Such a question could be relevant. Mm.
What's your work from home secrets? Give me a call, 021-446-0567. Do you take a kip midday when you've done with all your midday deliverables? I've seen some people even schedule meetings for themselves with no other recipient midday so they can take a quick nap. Larry, there is the respect that employees need to give, you know, the time in which they are paid for. But many people do take chances, and that is completely natural. How have you been dealing with it as a boss?
I just don't ask too many questions. I just look at this is what the outcomes are, and this is what the time I expect it to be. It's not that I'm turning a blind eye, it's that I just look at it as a way of I can't enforce something from 1,000 kilometers away. It's just impossible. You have to trust people to do their jobs. You can't micromanage people into performance. People either perform willingly or they don't.
But let's be honest, some people are just, you know, grown up children and they need to have the hand held and, you know, they need to be dragged out of bed. And you know, when we come into a point of how do we hire in a hybridized work from home scenario, it's probably we're gonna have to have a bit more aptitude testing on who is a person who is more trustworthy.
My experience has proven different. If you have deliverables every day, and our deliverables are you write a story every day or a story or two every day, or I ask you to cover this, then it's pretty clear. You don't have to have a long list of KPIs to get people to perform. You just have to have clear KPIs. And if people are not going to deliver, then it's clear. You didn't do the story, but you didn't promise it. You didn't deliver it by this time. And then it's clear. I'll phone them during the day and ask them what you're doing, how your story coming. And that's it. But it's clear to everyone involved what they have to do and when they have to deliver it. I say that with a little proviso that this is clear to our organization and might not be well suited to an organization that's focused on data collection or organization that's more kind of client facing. So it works for us. All organizations are different. But I do think over the long run, I think people are going to have to, businesses are going to have to reassess their whole business model. We had a bit of a, I mean, I had a bit of a kind of like a kind of earlier understanding than most when I was editing a brainstorm, ITWeb's Brainstorm Monthly magazine a few years ago. We did a story on an estate agent that just went totally digital. They did the sums and they found out they couldn't afford an office if they went ahead. Mm. It'll just eat into their overhead. So they decided everyone's working from home, and basically the cloud wasn't going to be their office, and they found that it worked pretty well for them. Mm. So I think those are the conversations corporates are going to have. They have to figure out, do they really need those large office parks? And I think that the whole conversation around culture is justifying the overhead they've already spent.
And office parks is what's in vogue now when it comes to commercial development. Now, just off the top of my head, the proposed Amazon development, whether it gets off the ground or not, who knows? But if we have these office parks that are being planned, will they actually be filled? Is actually one of these questions.
And I think the more important question is, why build it? Why do you need an office park? I think once these big investments start going, everything is there to justify it, and nobody kind of, because it's hard to put the brakes on something like this once it starts. You have to figure out like what's there to entice people to come to the office. You can go for instance, the Discovery route, and you can have a gym and a supermarket in your fancy office park in Sandton. But I mean, that's the answer. How do you get people to enjoy being in the office?
Yeah.
Is it enough to just to provide challenging work? There's lots of theories around why companies actually put gyms and supermarkets and whatever and banks inside the office.
And free lunches.
It's there to keep you at the office longer. But now they have to compete with home. And home has a strong magnetic effect for many people.
Mm. Let's go to a quick voice note, 0725671567.
Hi, Lester. Good program. Enzo here from Cape Town. I think the problem is we're measuring the wrong thing when we try to monitor, how long people are working, in inverted commas, in a day. That's when you try and measure input. Rather measure output. What are they producing? How much work, good work, are they producing? It's much easier to measure output. Input, if you've got to measure too much input, you're dealing with the wrong employee.
And that is what you want. Do you want ultimate productivity to increase the bottom line, or do you want to develop good people? Do you want to develop a company culture which looks very nice on our About Us page on our website, Larry?
I think one of the things that I find is that when it comes to managing people, that's the key thing. I think if a manager needs a lot of oversight, the manager doesn't trust the people to perform, or manager doesn't have clear ideas about what the performance targets are, then that's the issue. It's not a HR conundrum. It's actually a business leadership issue.
Yeah.
If business leaders need to monitor their staff all the time to make sure they get a certain kind of output, they should look at their business model, because people are skiving off on the job anyway.
I'm one of those people that Bill Gates says I'd rather hire a lazy person than a hard worker, because a lazy person finds the quickest way to go from A to B and gets the job done. That's what Bill Gates says. I have discovered, and I'm part of the gig economy, and I have things. I discovered my most productive time is, in fact, because I'm now that age of pre-middle age, so I don't go out on weekends anymore, is when the house is quiet on a Friday and Saturday evening. That's when I go to our little home office and I do work. And I get things done by the end of the week. And then by Monday morning, when I'm supposed to send off the emails and the reports and the scripts, it's all done. And you've paid me for my work.
The new normal has brought us to is that people are productive at different times of the day. Some people are morning people. Some people are afternoon people. Some people are evening people. Some people are even weekend people. We should cater for that. We should understand when people are productive. And I think the more organizations become more organic in the understanding of the nature of work, what makes people more productive, I think those ones that adapt faster to that are going to be the real winners.
Larry Clarkson, Deputy Editor at Moneyweb, thanks so much for joining us.